Ooh, bless the Lord, great grace. God is amazing. He is wonderful. He is great, and he is greatly to be praised. I bless the Lord on this evening. I honor God. I honor his blessed son, Jesus. I honor his precious Holy Spirit. I give honor to my husband in his absence and to everyone that's tuned in on this evening. Hallelujah. We serve a wonderful God. He is an awesome wonder in my soul. And I pray he is an awesome wonder in your souls. Hallelujah. Because your soul is just no good without the Lord. I thank God for all that he is in my life. I thank him for where he has brought me from. I thank God for all of the things that he's showing me, all of the things that he has taught me. Hallelujah. God is just amazing. And I appreciate him so much. I'm so grateful to God that he gave me the opportunity to experience life with him. And that life has simply been great. Hallelujah. I thank God because he is love. He is mercy. Hallelujah. He is just so wonderful to us. And I just am so happy about the Lord. I'm so excited about what he is doing in all of our lives. Hallelujah. And even the things that he is yet to do, because our best is yet to come. Hallelujah. So don't fret, don't worry. Every trial, every test is just to make you better, to make you stronger. Hallelujah. And you have got to encourage yourself and say, my best is yet to come. Hallelujah. So we're going to go on into our message. I'm going back to relationships because I had so much written down about relationships. But this Bible study, and maybe a few others following, we're going to deal with our relationship with others, okay? And we're going to get the basis for, tonight we're basically going to be dealing with the basis for our relationship with others, which is love, okay? So get your Bibles, and we're going to go to our first scripture in John chapter 13. St. John chapter 13. St. John chapter 13. Okay, look at verse 34 and 35. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Let me read that again the right way. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. As I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have loved one to another. Hallelujah. This is the command that the Lord gave us. Hallelujah. And that was to love one another the same way that he loves us. You may feel like it's impossible to love somebody the way that God loves us, but all you got to do is try and make up in your mind that you're going to please God with the way that you love. You're going to please God with your actions. Hallelujah. We've got so many issues when it comes to love. We've got so many definitions of love. We look at people and say, well, if they don't do this or they don't do that, then they don't love me. We tend to categorize love the way we feel it should be and how we expect other people to respond to us. Hallelujah. But we lose ourselves in what love really is when we try to drum up our own definition, when we try to make someone else's actions be what we call love or a lack of love, okay? This is a commandment that God has given to us, that we love one another. He says, as I have loved you, that's the way you got to love one another. And that's a commandment. Hallelujah. We pick and choose whether or not we're going to love, whether or not we're going to hate, whether or not we're going to have issues, whether or not we're going to be on the right side of God's will, his word, or whether or not we're going to be on the left side. And the sad thing about all of that is that we just don't care when our actions are wrong, when our feelings and our thoughts are wrong. We really don't care. Hallelujah. But you've got to care because God is everywhere. He's in you. He's around you. He knows what you're feeling. He knows what you're thinking. And you can't fool him. You may say, I love. Hallelujah. But if your love doesn't line up with the will of the Lord, it doesn't line up with God's word, how he says to love, then it's not love. And this is clearly stated in the scriptures that we're using on tonight. Okay, he says, as I have loved you, that's the way you love one another, that ye also love one another that way. The way that I loved you, that's the way you love one another. Hallelujah. Who of you that God fights with you? He goes through changes with you about not getting his way. We very seldom let God have his way, okay? Because a lot of things he tells us to do, we find ourselves walking in disobedience to it. So he's not having his way, but he doesn't go through changes with us. He doesn't fight with us. Hallelujah. And he doesn't want to write us off because of the disobedience to his will and to his word. You love people, and we love people conditionally. We love people for what they are to us, who they are to us, what we think they should do, how well we can get in their lives, be a part of their lives, and pretty much run their lives. Hallelujah. And think about when all of that comes to a screeching halt, then we know we find reasons to say, oh, they don't love me, so I don't love them. We find reasons to back our love up. But no matter what we did, no matter how we were, God never backed his love up on us. Hallelujah. And he's saying, you know what? This is the way that you've got to love one another. Hallelujah. I want you to, whatever you got to take, you take it. Whatever you got to go through, you go through. Hallelujah. Because I have gone through a lot with you. I can imagine that the Lord can say this to all of us. I have gone through a lot with you. I have put up with a lot of your antics, your shenanigans, hallelujah. So you have got to put up with someone else. We feel like, and we say a lot of times, nah, I don't have to deal with that. I don't have to take that, hallelujah. But, you know, further down in Corinthians, we talk about love bearing all things. Okay, when is it that we have the right to get tired of bearing with someone? Yeah, I love you too. Hallelujah. Hey, I'm glad I know who I am in Christ. Hallelujah, because I'm going to tell you, regardless of how you feel and regardless of how you think and regardless of whether or not you speak to me again, it just doesn't matter. I got a charge to keep. Hallelujah. And we have got to stop this flim-flam love thing, this flim-flam thing that we call love. Hallelujah. Where we're loving conditionally. We're loving if the mood is right. We're loving if the atmosphere is right. We're loving, hallelujah, if things are done right to us the way we think that they should be done. Hallelujah. Check yourself. Go back in your life. You have wronged people. You have hurt people. You have done some dog stuff to folk. Hallelujah. And God's mercy was right there, bearing it all. Hallelujah. His mercy endures, hallelujah, through everything that we've ever done, ever thought, ever felt. And you've got to put up with somebody sometimes because somebody had to put up with you. Hallelujah. How many of you would raise your hands and say that you are disciples of the Lord? He says, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Hallelujah. You can't just call yourself a disciple of God, but you got to show the sign and the real sign. And you don't show the sign by going around quoting the scriptures. You don't show the sign by ministering, by preaching, by teaching. Hallelujah. By passing out food to the hungry. That's not how you show the sign. Hallelujah. But according to 1 Corinthians, you show the sign, hallelujah, by reaping some of the things that you did to others and it coming back on you and you taking it and accepting it and say, hey, this is my pay. This is my pay. This is the harvest that I'm reaping for the seeds that I sowed. Hallelujah. We sow seeds so easily. But when it's time to reap that harvest, we feel like that harvest belongs to someone else. And usually we would give that harvest to someone that we deem did us wrong, didn't care about us. Hallelujah. But everybody has had their turn. Hallelujah. And you want to be known as a disciple of God. People are looking at you. People are watching you. They're watching what you do. They're watching how you treat others, no matter who the others are. Hallelujah. We try to avoid people that we really don't love. We find fault with. We find problems with. Hallelujah. But you can't run away from growth. And when you can deal with the people that you feel have issues concerning you, and you know you had issues concerning them, when you deal with them, when you go forward, hallelujah, that's how you grow. You don't grow just getting into the scriptures and reading the scriptures. You got to have tests to make you grow. You got to have trials and tribulations to come your way to make you grow. Hallelujah, because it's just like you're in school and the teacher's constantly showing you things and teaching you things and you're learning. Hallelujah. But the truth of the matter is, it's always a test that comes along at the end of the month, the end of the week, the end of that particular lesson. It's a test that's going to come to see how much you really have learned. Okay. And that's what it is when you go through things with people. It's a test. It's only a test. Hallelujah. You're pretty much, your whole walk in the Lord is just filled with tests, the trials, your faith being tried, your love being tried, your endurance being tried, the word that you said, God, I'm not going to ever turn my back on you. It's going to be tried. Hallelujah. So even if you have that big talk about, you know, God is this to me, God is that, I love God, I'm with God, and blah, 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 the test is going to come. Hallelujah. And you've got to be able to stand firm and stand true on what you profess with your mouth. Okay. Again, this is a new commandment that the Lord gives to us, that we love one another the same way he has loved us. And this is how people will be able to look on you and say that you are a disciple of the Lord, if you have love one for the other. Okay. Let's go to 1 John. 1 John chapter 4. And again, the basis of our relationship with others we're talking about tonight is dealing with love. 1 John chapter 4. Look at verse 7, verses 7 through 13. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that God loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. Hallelujah. Okay, that's 1 John chapter 4, verses 17 through 13. Okay. Simply, John is just coming out straight out with it. Let's just love one another. Okay. If you love one another, then you're of God. It doesn't matter what your claim is. It doesn't matter what your title may be. It doesn't matter who you know. It doesn't matter what family that you are a part of. Hallelujah. If you love one another, then you are in the will of God, because love is of God. Okay. Everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Hallelujah. You know, we'll never really know everything about God, but we know how to humble ourselves. We know how to to be flexible. We know how to be bendable, because to love, you got to bend. You got to bend from what you think. You got to bend from how you feel. You got to be flexible. Hallelujah. People that treat you horrible, you've got to love them in spite of who they are, what they do. Hallelujah. And what you think they should do. A lot of times we are, we're hesitant to let our feelings out and to love someone unless they come back to us and ask us for forgiveness. Well, you hold on to that desire for someone to come and kiss your feet until the day you die, and you will not go with the Lord. You got to forgive people regardless of what they do, what they have done, how they are, who they are, and you can't wait for somebody to come back, okay? Because if that's the condition of you forgiving them, if you go and die and leave away from him before they do, in hell, you lift up your eyes, okay? You cannot go to be with the Lord and you are still holding on to junk. You have no love. Your love, God allows things to come up in our lives for our love to be perfected. Hallelujah. It says this in the scripture, okay? Love is of God. You can't say that you're of God and then you don't have love. You might say, well, I love, you know, my mother and my father. Well, I love my children. Well, I love my spouse. Hallelujah. But it's just that when you love, it's not a thing that's just limited to certain people. Love is love. Okay. And that's what the word is talking about here. You know, you love, your love can't be mixed with dissimulation. It's got to be real. It's got to be pure. It's got to be a godly kind of love, because he says he wants us to love one another the way that he loved us. Okay. So that love has got to be a godly love. We know that we've been full of crap and still a lot of times full of crap. And yet God loves us and we expect him to love us, because no matter how crappy we are, we still go to him and expect him to answer our prayers. We expect him to heal our little ache and wreck our bodies. Hallelujah. We expect him to deliver us out of a whole lot of things. And we waste no time going to him when we feel like we're in need of him. Okay? God is love. You can't get around that. And if you can't love someone because of what they are, who they are, what they've done, whatever you think, and, you know, this is a whole nother message, but a lot of times things that we think are not really the way that they seem to us. The word says wisdom is the principal thing, but with all that getting it understanding, okay? We don't have an understanding a lot of times of why people do what they do, okay? Everybody doesn't have the capacity to be like you, to think like you, to act like you, okay? To respond to things the way that you do. Some people, when they hear a siren coming down the street, like you driving and you hear a siren come up behind you, some people will panic and some people will be just as calm, okay? And I find that when it comes to love, we expect people to respond, to have the same reactions, the same responses that we do when it comes to love, okay? Everybody is not going to love the same, and nobody is going to love 100% like you do. Their view is not going to be 100% like yours, because if it was, hallelujah, then they would not be an individual. They would be a zombie or a clone or something, but they would not be an individual person. Hallelujah. Okay. Everyone that loveth is born of God. Hallelujah. We, some of us are still in associated and still attached to our birth parents. Okay. When we come over to the Lord, we're born into his family. We're born of his spirit, born of the water and of his spirit. Hallelujah. We change our heritage. It changes our parental our parents, it changes. We can't stick with the same parents we had. We no longer really belong to them, because the truth of the matter is you never belonged to them in the beginning. God just chose that particular person, that particular mother or father, hallelujah, to raise you to fear him. You really belong to God. He created you. Your parents did not create you. They did not make you. They did not form you. They did not bring you in here. And they really can't take you out. And we need to stop saying that to our kids. We need to not receive that when people say it to us, because it's all a big lie. God is your father. He is your source. He is your creator. He is your everything. And you can't do nothing without God. You can do a whole lot of things without your biological parents. But you can't do anything without God. Hallelujah. And it's his mercy that endures for with us through all of the things that we go through. His mercy is constantly knocking in our heads, knocking on our backs, you know, grabbing our hands and say, hey, hey, I'm here. I'm here. I'm merciful to you. Come on. I need you to come over on this side because I have so much that I want to bless you with. Hallelujah. That's love. That's what you do for those that are unloving. In your eyes, those that act unseemly, those that, hallelujah, they need to be knocked down. They need to, whatever you may think that they may need, but that's your time to show them love. That's your time to reach out to them, hallelujah, and allow the love of God, the same love wherewith he loved you, hallelujah, to be exercised against that person that you find so unlovely. Hallelujah. He that loveth and knoweth not God, he that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. Hallelujah. We have a lot of professions in Christendom, and I find that a lot of them are just words. Hallelujah. Sometimes we will grab to a word or to a saying, and we don't have a clue what we're saying. It sounds good, and it may sound like something that we want to claim to be how we want people to see us and view us. Hallelujah. But the truth is, the truth of the matter is, you can't work around love. You got to actually go in love, be in love, do love, show love. Hallelujah. Let love be in you. Hallelujah. It's something that you can't fake, because eventually, it will show itself. It will show that you're not there. It will show, hallelujah, that you're still holding on to some things that is hindering you from just walking in the love of God. It's hindering you from seeing the love of God. We say we see God. God is good to us. God is gracious and God is merciful to us. Hallelujah. But a lot of times those are words. When you really, really see the goodness of the Lord, when you really know how merciful God is to you, it will crumble you, it will humble you, hallelujah, and it will make you want to be loving to someone else, hallelujah. You can't say that you're in God, you love God, hallelujah, you appreciate everything that God has done, and then you walk around with hate, hallelujah, because God is love. Okay, God's love was manifested towards us because he sent his only begotten son to die for us. Okay, he sent him into this world that we would be able to live eternally with him. You're not going to do that for anybody. I don't care how much you say you love them. Hallelujah. You're not going to give up your life. You are not going to sacrifice yourself so just one person can have eternal life. Not going to do it. Hallelujah. But God did it. He did it for trillions and trillions and trillions of people, because it's been that many since when God started creating man. Okay. He gave up his life, hallelujah, through his son Jesus for all of us. And he knew before we were born, he knew what we were going to do. He knew our mind frames. He knew our actions. He knew everything about us and still knows. Hallelujah. But he still endures with us. His mercy endures forever. His love endures. It still holds on to us. He's still there with us no matter what we go through. Hallelujah. God did this. Think of the best thing that you can do for someone. I don't want you to think about it now, but I want you to think about it. You know, maybe when you're on your bed tonight or going about your day tomorrow, think about the best thing that you can do for somebody. And then think about if that's all God could do for you. If that's your limitation, then what would happen to you if that was God's limitation toward you? Hallelujah. We would be in a mess. We really would. Okay. Herein is love. this is real love. And it didn't come from us. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Hallelujah. There's nobody in here can say that they love God first. It's impossible. Hallelujah. You can't say you came to God because you loved him, because you had no idea what God's love was, what it entailed, what it was about. Hallelujah. You never experienced it before you came to him. Okay. That knowing something about God's love, you have to come to him first. Hallelujah. You have to accept him. You have to accept the law of faith. It takes faith. Hallelujah. To love God and to love like God loved us. It takes faith to love one another like God loved us. Okay. Hallelujah. Because life is not going to always give you the picture perfect or the peaches and cream situation like you want it to. It's not going to happen. Okay. Because if it did, it would not be your test. It would not be your trial. Hallelujah. We forget that this life, in this life that we live, hallelujah, we've got, I'm calling them little attachments. We've got babes, little babies that come along that we have to teach. We have people, and I like attachments because sometimes people are attached to you and you don't even know they're attached to you because they're watching you. Hallelujah. They're gleaning from you. They're learning from you how to act, how to respond in certain ways. Hallelujah. And what are you showing people about love with the decisions you make, with your actions, with the choice, with your choices, with our first responses, okay? Because first responses also have a lot to do with love. Hallelujah. Love will cause you to put a halt on everything that you think you ought to be doing. Hallelujah. And it'll cause you to stop and think. Love will put a check in your spirit. Hallelujah. And it will cause you to really think about what your next move should be, okay? We're quick to fight someone. We call a lot of stuff we want to do to somebody, self-defense. And we're quick to seemingly fight someone or to take up for ourselves or defend ourselves. Hallelujah. But I never hear people talk about the scripture in the Bible where it says, if somebody smack you on one cheek, turn the other. We don't do that. But love would. You going to get your crew, hallelujah, if your crew got guns, got 45s, yeah, you going to get your crew and somebody going to die tonight. I mean, just for a smack on the face. How dwelleth the love of God in you? Hallelujah. That's funny. Yeah, right. But the next time the test comes, you better be, hey, I'm going to pass it. I'm going to pass it. Yeah, you better pass it. Hallelujah. Okay? Because God sees. He's watching. And when you're going to make your profession, hallelujah, you talking trash. You talking smack. Hallelujah. That's what 1 Corinthians hits on. You're talking a bunch of junk. Hallelujah. If you're the kind of person that you're not going to stand for taking, you're not taking anything. You're not taking no crap. You ain't taking no bull. You just ain't having it. Okay. What are you going to have? Hallelujah. Because the thing of the matter is, you, when you fight so and you get yourself out of fixes and you determine that it's a whole lot of stuff you just not going to take, God will allow you to get to a place where you backed up in a corner and you have nowhere to run, nowhere to move. You don't have a next step. You don't have another action. Hallelujah. You just stuck. You never want to be in a place where you got to take something. You always want to go to God and humble yourself and take it. Because when you're in that place where you gotta take it, you don't have a choice. Hallelujah. You don't have a choice. At least prayer, when you humble yourself, prayer can get you through some stuff. Fasting can get you through some stuff. But when you back up in that corner And the Lord saying, you know what? I've been trying to teach you. I've been trying to show you. I've been trying to help you. Hallelujah. Well, now you got to take it the hard way. You got to get it the hard way. Hallelujah. Because we're branded. I believe we are branded. And when you are branded, you are going to get what God is trying to get across to your thick skull, your thin skull, your fat skull, your skinny skull. You're going to get what the Lord is trying to get across to you one way or another. I'd rather just try to do it his way because, you know, I had that other way for so long, so many times. And it's just not good. You want out. You can't pray your way out. You can't fast your way out. You can't call nobody to pray. And hey, okay, be bendable, be flexible. Hallelujah. Open your heart and your mind for the word of God to penetrate it so that you don't have to go through hard knocks. Hallelujah. Because there is no way out. God is love. And he's like, you're branded, okay? You're going to love one way or another. Hallelujah, one way or another. And if you don't allow God to do it in you softly and peaceably the way he wants to do it, then it's going to be the hard way. Hallelujah. We never really love God, and some of us still don't love him. I find myself a lot of times when the day goes past and I haven't walked, I'm like, God, do I really love you? I think something's wrong in my love department, because clearly he said in the word, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And whatever he commands us to do, if we don't keep that commandment, we can talk love, but that doesn't mean that it's really there. Hallelujah. Okay. We didn't love God first. He loved us. He's showing us what love really is. But are our eyes closed to this love because of all of the things we say we don't want to experience? I'm not going to let nobody take advantage of me. I'm not going to let nobody do me wrong. I'm not going to let nobody just have me in places where I'm at the end. I'm at the bottom of the totem pole where I am the victim. You don't realize how many times you really have been a victim. But since Mikey made you the victim, then it was okay. When Susie made you the victim, it was okay. Hallelujah. But when it comes to God and the things of God and the people of God, hallelujah, and just people in general, yeah, hey, you're not going to be the victim. Hallelujah. Okay? You never loved God. You never knew what love was until God gave us his son. Hallelujah. And even that, we're still trying to really learn more and more and more. Every day we're trying to learn more about God's love, and he's trying to teach us more and more about his love. Okay. Verse 11 says, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. If God loved us. Now, if you can put your hand up and say that God did not love you, God never loved you, God still doesn't love you, then fine. I get why you're angry. I get why you're not flexible. I get why you're mean and angry. I get why you just feel with hate. Hallelujah. Because you feel like God doesn't love you. That's your feeling. That's fine. It's not a true feeling, but if that's the way you want to feel, then have at it. Okay, we ought to love one another just because God loved us. Hallelujah. How many of you really are interested in building God's kingdom? Oh, it's skeptical whether or not you're going to put your hand up. Mm-hmm. Right. You really want to build God's kingdom, then you're going to draw people with love. You can't draw nobody with bees and salt and vinegar. You draw people with love into God's kingdom. Hallelujah. We won't even talk about the other kingdom that you be trying to build. Hallelujah. Maybe that kingdom has no love in it anyway. But if you're trying to draw people to God's kingdom, you're going to draw them with love. You have never seen God. Hallelujah. Okay. But if you love others, then God is dwelling in you. And his love is perfected in you. You got some people in life they have done things to you. They still do things to you. Hallelujah. But this is the perfect opportunity for you to have your love perfected. Everybody that you have been holding something against, everybody that did something wrong to you, hallelujah, let it go and be free. Because God let go of all the crap you did to him. He let go of all the times you even lied on him, all the times he was summonsing you, hallelujah, even for something as simple as prayer. All the times you reneged, you didn't feel like talking to him, you didn't feel like leaving the wrong kind of company, leaving a sinful state to deal with him, to his word. God put up with so much from us. Hallelujah. And it is just that simple to let it go. You have got to let it go because you need to be free. There are places in God where you need to go. There are things that God wants to bestow upon you. And you may not know right up front what it is that God wants to do in your life. But if you had any inkling of what it was, you'd be like, whatever, nothing is worth holding on to. Nothing is worth staying in my way and hindering me from getting what God has for me. Nothing. And I'm telling you the truth, nothing is. Okay? You have got to let go of all kinds of stuff, all kinds of issues, all kinds of feelings and things that we hold. We dislike people just from things that we hear about them. And then a lot of them are things that are not even true. And we got nerve, hallelujah, to be mad at somebody, nerve not to want to be around somebody, nerve to be upset about what somebody does. Oh, they roll their eyes at me. You know what? Sometimes you probably were no way around them. People used to come to me all the time and say, what? I'm like, huh? What? You was thinking something? You saw something? I was like, you was nowhere near my mind. Hallelujah. We're constantly thinking, hallelujah, of the worst things that people feel and think and say about us. And you know what? You've got too much to gain from God. You've got too much to receive from the Lord for holding on to stuff. That's just the enemy's way of hindering us from going where we need to go in God. Because God has need of every last one of us. Hallelujah. He has purpose for your life. Hallelujah. And he's trying to drive you toward that purpose. He's trying to drive you, hallelujah, even toward your blessings. Your blessings are in your purpose. Yeah, yes, they are. Okay. If we love one another, God dwells in us. And his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us because he have given us of his spirit. Okay, love is a spirit. God is a spirit. Hallelujah. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And if you have no love, hallelujah, then you have no truth. Hallelujah. He is a spirit. Hallelujah. Okay, if I could lay hands on everybody that's been hurt, that's been hurt some kind of way, one kind of way or another, hallelujah, I would say, let me lay my hands on you, hallelujah, and allow the spirit of the Lord to come in because he has need of you. He has blessings for you. He has so much for you that the enemy is trying to keep you from getting. Hallelujah. You're fighting a never-ending battle, staying angry, staying upset, going through changes. Hallelujah. Because somebody did this, I know now not to deal with them anymore. That's your test. That's your trial. Hallelujah. You've been asking God for things that you want God to do, and he can't do because you don't have the first principle in mind. You're going to always have to deal with people. No man is an island. You're not going to live on this earth alone. You're going to always have to deal with somebody. Let it be in love. It's got to be in love for you, for God's love to be perfected in you, for love to be perfected in you, for you to go where you want to go in God, and for you to go where God is trying to get you to go. I love the Lord because some things we want from God, he doesn't necessarily want it for us, Hallelujah. But just because our love is perfected, he'll give it to us. You know how when your kids act right, they did everything you told them to do, then you'll just let them have something. But it wasn't nothing that you originally was going to give them. It was something that you probably can use in another way. But you just go ahead on and just give it to them. And that's how God does us. Hallelujah. He wants to give you some of the things that you really want. Hallelujah. And then he has things to give us. But he can't give them to us with a jacked up heart and a jacked up mind. He can't give us a lot of things that he has for us. Hallelujah. And we've got issues. Because everything that you do in ministry, hallelujah, it will pass those issues on down. That spirit. If you ain't got the spirit of God, you got some other kind of spirit. Let me tell you. Ain't but two forces in this world. And that's God and the devil. So if you don't have the spirit of the Lord, not love, then you got the spirit of the enemy. I don't care that you didn't slice nobody's throat. I don't care that you didn't bust nobody in the head with a hammer. I don't care that you didn't take an axe and chop somebody's legs off because you was mad. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter. Oh, I'm not that gruesome. Gruesome is gruesome. Hallelujah. I'm not that bad, but you're bad. Hallelujah. Bad is just bad. Okay? We tend to look at other people and the things that they do. Oh, God, I would never do nothing like that. But then what would you do? If what you do, would God do it? Would Jesus do it? If he wouldn't do it, then you have no business doing it. Hallelujah. That makes you just as bad as the people that you look down on and say, ooh, they're terrible. Just as bad. Okay, we went through, stop, we're not going back through this. We went through Hebrews 2, okay? Judge not that you be not judged, for the same measure with which you judge someone else, those are the same things that you do, okay? So you can identify how mean a person is, how angry they are, how much they walk contrary to God's love, because that's what's in you. Okay, get rid of, forgive, and hallelujah. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us. Whew, hallelujah. Because he have given us of his spirit. Hallelujah. You know, I'm going to say it like this. Sometimes something that God wants to do in us, or some instruction that he may give us, it seems hard. It seems like it's just not gelling together. It just seems like it's not working out. Hallelujah. And that's because he's trying to, we missing all around. We're just missing it. We're not, something's wrong in the love department. Hallelujah. I've been telling y'all for some weeks now, go clean up your mess. All these issues you got with people. All this attitude, all this stuff where you think somebody did you wrong, you felt like you was entitled, blah, 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 blah. And some of y'all ain't paying none, not a bit of attention to it. But I'm telling you what you want from God and what he's going to do for you, it's going to be hung up. It's going to be hung up in the air. And what is supposed to come to you is not coming because you are not in a place to receive the blessings of the Lord. You got to get rid of the orneriness, the bitterness. You got to get rid of the tit for tat. You got to just grow on up and mature in salvation. Hallelujah. You got to humble yourself. You can't get anything from God that's worth anything if you don't walk humbly before him. You got to. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. Some things that the Lord says when our spirit is right. though they don't gel together in a time frame that we think is acceptable, when we get our spirit right, then things will start falling in place. 1 Corinthians 13, though I speak with the tongue of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. Okay, I see a lot in this chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, how people pride themselves on being somebody, being something, being someone. Hallelujah. They pride themselves on what they have, what their abilities are, what their gifts and graces are, what their blessings are from God. And still, even though God blesses us, even though he gives us his gifts and graces, even though, hallelujah, he is with us through so many things, if we don't have love, then we're nothing but horrible noisemakers. Yeah, but took sound and brass and just beat it like them cymbals. And I mean, just banged on them. Okay. We're like sounding brass. We're like just noisy tinkling cymbals. I think about that thing, that trapeze thing that Brother Doc pulls himself up on and the chain was hanging. Every time he touched that thing just be dangling all night. And I just want to just take it and throw it in the trash. I tape it and somebody will come and remove the tape. I taped it again. I taped the chain to the chain because that, and when it dangles, it just doesn't stop. And that is one horrifying noise when you're trying to go to sleep. But that's how we sound when we don't have love. Your gift, it can't do nothing for you if you don't have love. Because see, we try to make the gift work for us, and that's contrary to scripture. Scripture says the gift will make room for itself. It's not supposed to make room for you. Hallelujah. And when we find a lot of times that gift is not making room for us and we can't shine in what the Lord told us, what the Lord has given us, what we think we got from God, if we can't shine and be Mr. and Mrs. It, hallelujah, then we nothing but a bunch of noise, headachy noise. Hallelujah. Okay. We can have the gift of tongues. There's a such thing as the gift of tongues. We can have the gift of prophecy. We can have the gift of interpretation of tongues. That means nothing. Gifts are given without repentance. That's what the scripture says. Hallelujah. You can be a straight up sinner, have no regard for God at all, and that does not mean you may not have a gift. Look at Sister Rita, the hand lady, the one where they had a big red hand on the window. Hallelujah. They're not walking according to the Lord, according to scripture. Okay. Just because you have a gift, that does not mean that God is directing your gift. Hallelujah. You don't have to repent to have a gift. Okay. Though you have tongues, but you don't have love. Hallelujah. Though you are like an angel, though you can sing like an angel, it still doesn't mean anything if you don't have love, okay? Being able to prophesy, understand mysteries, have the gift of knowledge, all of that means nothing if you don't have love. If you have faith, faith is a gift. Hallelujah. People have faith. It can be general, and it can also be a gift. But even with the gift of faith, if you don't have love, it means nothing. Hallelujah. Because with the gift of faith, you can believe things to the point that they will happen. God will respond. But that does not mean you have love. Hallelujah. That's why it says, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, And though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Hallelujah. What is it going to profit you with all that you do outwardly, trying to make a show, trying to look like a good saint, a good Christian, a good believer? What does it all matter if you don't have love? Because you can be serving food to the elderly, cleaning up for the elderly, serving food to the neighborhood, hallelujah, and somebody look at you the wrong way and you let in on them. Where is your love? Where is your restraint? Hallelujah. Love has restraints on our actions. The things that we think we're justified in doing, love has restraints. Hallelujah. Though you give it, you give. Hallelujah. You have so much. This day and time we live in, everybody got so much of everything. You can't even say that you rewarded for giving to the poor. Okay. We love to think that we're doing something if we're giving to the poor. We feed now all these people that, you know, was feeding the people for COVID. Hallelujah. A lot of them didn't spend that one dime to buy food. We gave out food bags, baskets, boxes, buckets, whatever you want to call it. Okay. But we got free food. They get their free food already boxed up to give to people. Hallelujah. What we did, we went and put more food along with it because it just wasn't enough. Okay. But a lot of times people, they want to take the glory for doing simple things that they just should do. Hallelujah. Okay. And when it came to COVID, we all really should have been on the same page. And that's just plain old out and out grateful. Grateful to God. Hallelujah. We should and still should be in a place where we're willing to give up and get and share and do whatever we got to do so somebody else can make it. You should want to see your brothers and sisters, hallelujah, whether they're in Christ or out of Christ, you should want to see them as well off as you are. Hallelujah. That's why I always tell you, you don't give nobody nothing you're going to throw away. You got clothes and they got raggedy. They raggedy. They got tears here. They got spots here. Who wants that? You don't want it. That's why you're throwing it away. Why you going to give it to somebody else? Hallelujah. Okay. We tend to feel like we're doing something, but yet we don't have love. Because if a test come out of the act of love that you say you're doing, how are you going to respond? How are you going to respond if you're handing somebody a coat and they say, what? The zipper is broke. What is your attitude going to be? You may can keep it together in front of their face, but how are you going to talk to your sister, your father, your mother, your friend? What kind of trash are you going to talk about that ingrate to someone else? Hallelujah. We think it's all about saving face, but it's not, because God knows where we are when we're not around someone else, when we're by ourselves thinking all kinds of crazy stuff. Hallelujah. Remember, it's a test. Hallelujah. And the tester knows what the right reaction is, what your right response should be, whether it's at that moment or later on. We save things to talk about. I heard doctors one time saying that, you know, they were working on a patient or something. There was something out of the ordinary going on with the patient. And it was like, oh, yeah, this would be a good conversation, you know, for our Friday night get together. Like, wow. Okay. What is your reaction later? What is your feeling and your thought later? You kept it together right there on the spot and then didn't call him a nasty name for being ungrateful. Hallelujah. But what is your real thought of him? That's what God is looking at. That's what he's watching. That's what he's hearing. That's what he's knowing. That's what he's understanding. And that's how we lose out and we don't pass the test. Charity suffereth long. This is something that it does. It suffereth long and is kind. It doesn't envy. Hallelujah. And it vaunteth not itself and it's not puffed up. Charity suffereth long means that whatever you got to go through, you're going to have to go through it. However I am, hallelujah, that's how you got to deal with it. Perfect example, marriage. Children, the same thing. Okay? You took those vows. People get divorced because they don't want to suffer long. They're tired of suffering. I'll suffer a little while. I'll take this, but I'm not taking that. Okay? And a lot of people, think about this. The number one thing that people feel like they can't take and they don't walk away from a relationship for their marriage is for infidelity. Hallelujah. I get. Hallelujah. Charity suffers long. If you love the person, you may have to suffer through that. Can't say what I'm going to say. You may have to suffer through that. Okay? Were you ever a cheater? You tell that person, I never cheated. You didn't? Did you sleep with them before you married them? Maybe they did not have a spirit of, maybe they didn't have, what's the spirit of when you're not married? Fornication. Maybe they didn't have the spirit of fornication. Yeah, they may have done it, but they may not have had the spirit. But you could have passed that spirit on to them. And then they're not supposed to cheat on you. And I sure can't tell you what to do with them when they cheat. But love them. But love them. Hallelujah. But no, that's long suffering. Okay. Your mind can come up with so many things, but think about it. We get out. That's why divorces are so high. Because everybody is getting out. And people get out, they get out for stupid stuff. Because they don't bring their money home. Didn't the Lord tell you to pray before you get hooked up with somebody? Didn't he tell you don't be unequally yoked? You want to be unequally yoked. You don't want to see God who to marry because he may say no. So you avoid all of that. But that's what you wanted. That was your choice. That person that you attached yourself to. You got a question?
Does God recognize divorce?
No.
No, under any circumstances?
No. Because he said, in the scripture, he says to stay with the person. Only way, no, he doesn't recognize divorce. As long as you are married, as long as the person is alive, you're still married to them.
Even if you get a divorce.
Even if you get a divorce, that's still your husband. I don't care if he gonna marry somebody else three more times and you gonna marry somebody else three more times. That's still your husband, according to scripture, okay? Paul was telling people, they could divorce because it was so much friction in the church. But never, I haven't seen in scripture where the Lord said it was okay. No. Okay? But, you know, people, now, when it comes to fighting, that's a different issue. I didn't say divorce nobody. But the law, in obeying the laws of the land, because the marriage is a law of the land, okay? You take that vow and that oath before God, okay? So you're vowing to God. Your vow is even unto the Lord, that's unto that man or unto that woman. But when it comes to things like physical violence, you've got to make some kind of adjustments. I didn't say divorce, but you've got to make some kind of adjustments, okay? Because you can't just stand by and let somebody kill you. That's against the law of the land.
Pastor, so what does the scripture mean when it says, let not the believer lead the unbeliever, but let the unbeliever depart? So if the person leaves you, are you still married to them?
If he, well, technically,
well, what does that scripture mean first?
But you
tell me what that means.
It says, let the unbeliever depart. They can walk away. Whoever does not believe, whatever they claim they don't believe, because see, God will have to deal with them in whatever the belief is or isn't. But the unbeliever, the person that does not believe in God or does not believe that you really are supposed to continue to be their wife, let them walk away. You as a God-fearing person, you don't walk away. Because once you walk away, you're saying you don't have faith in God that he can fix it, he can work it out. And God, I've seen God. The thing is, we don't want to be honest about what we need to learn. It's easier that the flesh don't have to suffer if we get a divorce or we separate or we just walk away. That's the easy way out. But when God's got something for you to learn, honey, you're going to learn it one way or the other. Hallelujah. Okay? Okay? The thing is, we and I was teaching this message one time, we don't understand that God, when he does something or allows something, he's not just looking at you. He's not just concerned with what you're going through or what you're experiencing. He has maybe 10 to 20 to hundreds of people that's all going to be affected just by your one relationship. You don't see that. You don't understand that. But God does. There's something that I can look, every one of you that have been married, that either you separated, divorced, husbands died, wives died, left, whatever, I can look at that, your situation, and glean something from it for me. Maybe you're just not that concerned about stuff that happens with other people, but I look at things that I see you go through and I was like, oh God, thank you. That's a help. That's a blessing to me. You never know how you are affecting someone else. And that's why Romans says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. We don't want to sacrifice anything, but we want God to make everything and everybody around us sacrifice for us that we can have it good. Hallelujah. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You can't go along with what the world thinks. Look at our world now. It's going along with what the world thinks. And we looking just as crazy. Our world is so mixed up and messed up. It is off the chain. Hallelujah. Okay? You're hearing stuff all the time in the news about situations that's coming up. People are going through changes. They have odds in their understanding and their feelings, their desires and things and stuff people going to do and they just not going to do. Okay? Hallelujah. They don't have love. They don't want to suffer through anything. Love, real love, it's going to suffer through some stuff. It's going to put up with some stuff. Okay, and sometimes the things that you're putting up with are from the seeds that you sowed. And now you're, you know, you sow one little seed, you know you reap a harvest, right? You don't get just one little plant. You don't plant one little seed. I got a tomato tree out there and it's got like tons of tomatoes on it. One seed. But I'm getting, so far I've got about 20 tomatoes off of one plant. Okay. Some kind of way my heart, my seed planting was not what it should have been, because all my tomatoes are, they're about this big to maybe that big. They're not even coming out right. And sometimes your harvest is like a jacked up harvest and it's not pleasing to you. You can't use it. You can't do with it what you want to do. Then you have so much that's just going to waste. Okay, your harvest sometimes will torment you, just like some kind of problem or situation or person. Hallelujah. Okay, but what? How many things have you squeezed yourself out of? How many things have you talked yourself out of? Some of the things that we go through now, when they get hot and heavy, when they get too hard to even bear, it's because previously, you talked yourself out of some stuff. You wiggled your way out of a whole lot of things that you should have learned. You should have just stuck in there, learned what you needed to learn, and been better off for it. Hallelujah. Okay? Love suffereth long. You got a breaking point dealing with people. God doesn't have a breaking point dealing with us. Those neighbors that you live next door to every Friday, they having these parties and women coming in and out. What you worrying about? Your boo gonna be looking at some butt cheeks or something? You won't tell the truth, so you can't get delivered. Hallelujah. Okay. You going through all kinds of changes, just let them do them and pray. I've been praying and God won't move. Maybe God don't want to move. Maybe that's your soul to win for the Lord. They don't want to hear nothing. I can't win it. They always drunk. They never coherent. Excuses. Hallelujah. Okay. You got, that's building God's kingdom. You got to win souls for the Lord. Okay. And maybe that's your soul. And it's going to take some time. You carry a baby 9 months. That's your baby you got to birth. You carry it 9 months. Your legs swell up. Your belly gets so big. You can't even look down and see your feet. You be all in pain. Be walking backwards like you about to flip backwards and all kinds of stuff. Your hair fall out. You be nauseous and all kinds of crap. And you be ready like, you know what? You going to dig your hand up there and pull that thing out. I used to take hot baths. They say soaking hot water, almost scalding hot water, and a baby will come out. It ain't come out. Put this in your water and it'll come out. I'm like, God, don't nothing work. Just stuck up there. Get it out. Get out. Before them 9 months, you be wanting that thing to get, Lord, get it out because I'm tired. Hallelujah. You, if the doctor came along and said, you got, something's going on with your baby, you got to carry it. 5 more months, and yeah, you're going to get 5 times bigger because them last months is when the baby really do the growing. You're not having it. You like, give me epidural, do a C-section, just get it out. You don't care. Oh, it's got to go in the NIC unit. The lungs is not fully developed. That's all right. You got medicine. You can help them get through. They'll be developed. They'll stay in that incubator. Don't want to suffer long. These kids, you made them rotten. Why you complaining? Don't want to suffer. Somebody suffer with you. You ain't always been old and nice and understanding. You was a mess. You acted just like everybody that you look at. God need to do something about this XY generation, this 2XL generation, 3XL generation. God need to do something about it. They think they entitled, and they do. but you still got to put up with them. Because at one point you thought you was too. Mm-hmm. Love suffereth long and is kind. Okay. Love does not envy. You don't be looking at what somebody else has, what they're able to do, how God uses them, how he blesses them, what they have, hallelujah, and envy and wish that it was yours. How many times have you looked at something that someone else had and thought, that should be mine. God, I want that. Hallelujah. Okay. Love does not vaunt itself. Love ain't full of vanity and pride. Love is not going to boast about itself. It's not going to always push itself. It's not going to always be the one that has to be in the limelight, be in the spotlight, be up front. Hallelujah. Don't you know 90% of what you have to say does not need to be said? It does not need to be said. Yeah, I know, but maybe I can help somebody. You ain't everybody's help. You puffing yourself up. Hallelujah. Okay. Love doesn't behave itself unseemly. It's hallelujah. Love is not going to be acting like, it's just not going to act unseemly. Hallelujah. Love is going to be calm, compassionate, peaceful. Okay? It doesn't try to prove to someone from jump that they ain't a punk, they ain't a chicken, and they're going to show them. You don't have to prove anything to anybody. It doesn't behave itself unseemly. Love doesn't seek her own. Love is not always concerned about what it has, what it can get, what belongs to it, okay? And love definitely is not easily provoked, and it doesn't think evil. Hallelujah. You know, your kids, they got one more time to steal your money. You really gonna go to jail? Huh? You lying to yourself. You are. And they, the sad thing, they know you lying to yourself because they're gonna do it again. And you ain't gonna kill them. You ain't gonna go in there and cut up all their clothes. You ain't doing all that stuff. You ain't gonna wring their neck. You're gonna knock their head out the window. You ain't got the power to do all that stuff. You be lying to them and tell them, that's why they ain't got no faith in you. And knock your teeth down your throat. No, you not. God ain't even gonna let them get loose when you punch them. Hallelujah. Because God, believe it or not, God deals with our children. He showed them that you ain't all that you saying you are. You ain't gonna, he's not gonna allow you to step in his place and deal with his children. These children are on loan to you to train to fear God, to teach them the scriptures. That's all they are. They don't belong to you. They're not of you. They did not come from you. They came from God. They belong to the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay? We don't want to suffer through with our children. We do. We fine once they good. Getting on a roll all the time, going to college and doing all these good, great, and grand things. Let me tell you, if you got more than one, for every good one you got one that is the opposite. Hallelujah. Where my girl at? She not fighting. I had to come over there and knock her in the head too. She fighting. Put her up. Put her face on. Oh my goodness. Nariah, I told you what happened. You stop beating up everybody in the house like you own the place. Y'all ain't got a job, ain't even out the first grade. Okay, it's on Nariah between me and you. Hallelujah. But maybe it's time for, see, now I threatened her. So maybe it's not time for Brianna and David to get free from her. Mm-hmm. Nariah. I don't know what kind of background y'all get when y'all be popping in and out. Okay. But you gotta, until the Lord moves, you gotta deal with that. Okay, you know what she told me why she beat y'all up? She beat up her big sister and her big brother. She said, because Brianna, sometimes you want to talk to your friends, and when she want to talk to you, you talking to your friends. But you know what she told Jonathan why she beat up his dogs? She said, because you should be paying attention to the dogs and not, and I'm not, you should be paying attention to me and not the dogs. Spirit, you got to learn how to deal, go to God and find out how to deal with that spirit. Because that spirit will wreak havoc in the life of everybody it touches. Hallelujah. And spirits, the more active they are, the worse they grow. The more forceful they become. Okay? See, ain't threats not doing it. She just don't know that I meant what I said. But yeah. That's not going to change her. Because she feels like I'm the one that's supposed to be getting the attention. Hallelujah. Okay? And I tell you why, Charlene, not now. She listening. Hallelujah. You got to suffer with some things that people do. Yeah. I mean, she viciously fights her grown sister and her big brother. Hallelujah. You got to suffer through until God gives you the breakthrough. Hallelujah. And when you understand her issue, God will give you the breakthrough, because he'll give you how to deal with her issue. Okay. Her issue is, it's a reason why she thinks she deserves the attention. Okay. She sees that y'all get attention other ways, and she can't get that same attention because she's not like you. And that's the thing. We've got to pray. Everything that we go through, things that we deal with, that's especially the unpleasant things, we got to pray and ask God how to deal with all of these situations. Okay? Love rejoices not in iniquity, but it rejoices in the truth. Okay? People are doing bad. You know how you funning and laughing, people telling you all the wrong and the bad things they're doing, and you think it's so funny? You know, love doesn't get happy when people are doing the wrong thing. Not unless you want them to look like crap, thinking that you're going to look a little better. Love bears all things. It believes all things, and it hopes all things, and endures all things. That goes along with this suffering long. Love endures. It puts up with a whole lot of stuff. You get to the place you say you can't put up with no more. Ask the Lord to help you with love. It was something I said, God, I can't do this. I need a break. I can't take no more. And he sure did come right around and said, don't do that. Okay? Love is going to hope all things. I'm hoping, I'm believing God that he's going to fix it, that he's going to change it. Hallelujah. I'm going to bear it. I'm going to endure. I'm going to go through it, whatever it is. Because I don't want to get stuck. You're going through a pipe, okay? You start out at that pipe, you go in it, and then you get halfway through the pipe and stuff starts happening. Well, you got the same distance to run to go back to the beginning to get out of stuff as you do to stay in there and go to the end of that pipe and get your victory. But what we do, we'll turn around and run backwards to the beginning, thinking I'm not going to put up whatever else down this pipe and down this line. Well, if you got that far, you can go through. You can make it. You can get through, okay? Because it's a blessing on the other side of everything you go through, everything you endure. It is a blessing on the other side of it. Yes, it is. I don't care if that unbelieving spouse departs, they walk away. It is a blessing on the other side. You think you ain't going to be able to make it. You're not going to get through it. Hallelujah. It is a blessing on the other side. That's why the word says, let the unbelieving depart, because they just don't know the grace and the glory of God that they're walking away from. Let them go. You can't hold them. Okay? Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they'll fail. Whether there be tongues, they'll cease. Whether there be knowledge, it's going to vanish away. Hallelujah. Okay? Yvette can tell you a lot of the people that are in the homes. Paula can tell you. She worked in a extremely upscale nursing home. And there were people that were like doctors, lawyers, people that were working in politics and have positions in politics. And they're in those places. They're in those homes. Hallelujah. The mind is gone. All the knowledge is gone. All the physical abilities is gone. None of that stuff you hold on to, it never lasts forever. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter what you think you have now, who you think you are, where you think you're going, what you think you're entitled to. Hallelujah. If love is not the dominating force in your life, if love does not dominate your spirit, you do not have the spirit of love. Hallelujah. It means nothing. And when you're gone, it's gone right with you. Hallelujah. But you find somebody that really loves. And their love was genuine. People will always talk about them. People will always remember them. Hallelujah. Look how people, they still, even today, remembering Diana. Charles and what's that other boy name? His mother. Princess Diana. Yeah, Princess Diana. People are still remembering her. Okay? Because she genuinely went after people out of love to help them. It has not even been told all of the organizations that she put together to build people up out of love, just doing things for people. We learned about a lot of stuff since she died, but it's so much that still has not even been told. Okay? People will remember your love. They won't remember all the crap you did. They want it's something about love that outweighs everything. Love covers a multitude of sins. So you can be the biggest sinner, you can do the biggest dirt, but people did love the love that they remember about you and the love that you showed. They'll remember that over top of all of the mess that you did. Mm-hmm. Okay. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. Every prophecy that anybody ever prophesied was partial. It was a portion of a prophecy. Every bit of knowledge that someone exercised in the gift of knowledge, or whether they just knew something, the Lord revealed it. It was only a part. It wasn't the whole thing. Okay? And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity, which is love. Love is greater than hope. Love is greater than faith. Hallelujah. And they will stand. They will. When you got faith, it'll stand the test of time. When you got hope, it'll stand the test of time. But love is even greater than them. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. You don't have hope. You already lost. But love is better than all of them. It's better than both of them. Hallelujah. For your reading enjoyment, please read John 13, 34, 1 John 4, 7 through 13, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, read the entire chapter. Again, for your reading enjoyment, we have John chapter 13, verse 34, 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 13, and 1 Corinthians chapter 13 in its entirety. Hallelujah. Any questions or comments?
Yeah, I have a question. Okay.
First Corinthians chapter 13, is that considered for everyone, or is it just for household of faith? Mainly referring to verses 8 and 9. Because I know someone to say, I love you all the time, I love you all the time, but they can be pretty extreme.
What you mean extreme?
They say love you, but then on the other hand, what I learned about love, it doesn't show any of that. They loud and nasty, curse. They can just be a bit, yeah, really nasty.
Well, that depends on a lot of things. Sometimes, I mean, the person probably to, I would say clearly to me, they really don't know anything about love. And that's what God describes in his word as love. But if Doc starts to spit on me, God forbid, but if he starts to spit on me and he tells me he loves me and I don't do anything to try to make him understand that I cannot just stand by and let him spit on me, then he's going to do it again. Sometimes we allow people to abuse us, whether it's physically, emotionally, mentally, and even spiritually. Okay. First thing I would need to do is find out why he's spitting on me. You need to go to God and find out why. Okay. And then I have to find out from the Lord what to do about it. But I'm answering this way because I find out a lot of us, we allow people to do things to us that's not okay. And when they get good at doing it, it's just going to become a very bad habit. And once you really want to break free from it, it may get really ugly. Okay. If you're in that predicament, I would say to the person that's in that predicament, how come you don't even love yourself? Okay. God never said in his word that we had to just stand by and let people abuse us. I didn't say you had to, you know, go to nobody's head with a hammer or fireplace poker or anything like that. Okay? But you really need to go to God and get prayer. What is it from that person that you want that you think you're not good enough to have something better? Especially if it is it a mate, Deborah?
No. It's no mate, but this person just claims he loves his family and everything. That's just the person's mentality or whatever. It's always been like this. I mean, it's nothing.
Does the person have a mental condition?
I now know that that's we see some issues or things that's not normal that I would think someone else would, you know. I mean, if I love you, I'm gonna do pretty much kindness. I ain't gonna curse you out. I'm gonna not hold things against you or what have you, but it's like a it's within his mind because he says that he'll
pour out and give out everything that he has for you. But in turn, it's the opposite of what he speaks. It's not, you know, it's, it doesn't match up.
You really have to pray and ask the Lord how to deal with that person.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, so for me, I'm like, okay, Lord, what is does he love? Does he don't, you know, he don't love? I mean, and trying to understand somebody else's love, and maybe that's not my place.
No, it's not. It's just for you to ask the Lord to show you how to deal with them. Okay, show you how to love them. Because, you know, a lot of things that we call, a lot of things that, I'm going to say it like this. There's a thing called tough love. When you're trying to help a person understand something and they're not getting it, then you just might have to do it a different way. And they may hate you for it, but just tell them, say, okay, well, you keep living, you'll experience it, it'll come back. You'll come to know what it's all about. And they will. They will. But you really got to just pray and ask the Lord to give you what to do and how to do. And the prayer can't be like a one-time thing, and it can't be, I got one ironclad answer. You got to constantly pray whenever you really need to be in that person's presence. You really need to constantly pray and ask the Lord what to do, how to work with that person, how to receive them. Okay?
Okay.
Hallelujah. Any other questions, comments? All right. You guys have a good night. God is good. Father, we love you. We praise you. We bless you. We thank you, God, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for teaching us more and more every day about love. Give us, God, to be pliable, to be bendable. Hallelujah. To your word, to your will, that everything you want to show us about love and teach us about love, we would be open to receive it, thereby being able to receive blessings that you have in store for us. Give us, God, to go back and to read your word, minister to us, Lord. Show us areas in our life where we are not loving and how we're holding up blessings that you have for us. God, we just thank you and we praise you for our Bible study on tonight. I pray that as we leave this Zoom platform, that we not leave your presence. Give us to reach out to somebody in love throughout the remainder of the week and let them know that you love them tremendously and we love them, or that particular person loves them. Hallelujah. We thank you, God, and we praise you for all things. And we ask these blessings of you in Jesus' name. Amen. Good night, great grace. Be good.